much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Popular local DJ gave the crowd at a Christmas concert a scare when he fell off the stage. Now, this happened last night at radio station K-Rock's annual almost acoustic Christmas concert. There's some cell phone video of it right there. Longtime station DJ Gene Baxter, also known as Bean, fell off the stage at the Forum during introductions. We do understand that paramedics treated him at the scene, and we hope he's doing well.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Who fell off the stage?
He's nuts!
And now, you know, let's just pretend you're Hitler. If I'm friends with you,
let's not pretend I'm Hitler.
Well, let's just say it. Let's just say it, you know.
Let's not say it.
Our feature presentation.
Wow. I'll never forget that night because Bean fell, and then Jimmy and I were backstage. Jimmy Kimmel and I were backstage, and I said to Jimmy, if Bean turns out to be fine, we're going to look back on this, and it's going to be one of the funniest things ever.
Right.
And Jimmy said, nope.
Oh.
Well, thank God at least Jimmy had some decency.
Right?
Because there was nothing funny about it at all. It was terrifying and awful.
Jed's laugh.
Well, Jed's laugh.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 13th of June.
Yes, it is. What a terrible weekend, you guys.
Yeah.
And I know, Kevin, you don't watch the news because you're a kid, but it's so awful what happened. And here my whole thing. And tell me if I'm bad or wrong or should be put down, or tell me what the answer is, what the solution is.
All
in this
three.
Yeah, I think
situation.
We know that before.
Yeah.
You tell the story.
Here's the thing. It's like everybody, you see a story like the Orlando shooting, both of them, by the way, the young woman from The Voice who got killed Friday night and then the awful thing at the nightclub Saturday night, and you go, well, that's terrible and sad, and my heart goes out for those people, and I hate it, and I'm sad. But the other thing that the wave that comes over me after that is, this is news for a week, and then it's back to business as usual, and nothing changes. And that's the part that, as sad as I am over the lives that have been wrecked because of the carnage, it's almost sadder to know that literally the clock starts ticking to the next one, which could be even bigger, and it still won't matter. And I don't know how to block that out. I don't know how to turn that switch off in my mind that makes me depressed every single day, knowing that we literally go through one of these and then another one and then another one and then another one. And as a country, we have decided to ignore it and just do nothing.
It's sad that my initial thought as you were saying that was, wow, you're being generous saying we're going to care for a week. We won't.
It'll be less than that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It gets off the headlines as soon as they're buried.
Absolutely.
We forget it.
It chips away. Every single time something like this happens, it chips a little more away, and we get more and more numb. And what happens? Nothing. So
zero.
At the end, it's going to literally be a blip. And it's pathetic. It's truly pathetic.
And is it as simplistic as to ask who's to blame, or is the problem so massive that it's just insurmountable because there are too many hurdles to jump to make some sort
of
progress?
That's the way it feels to me.
Yeah, and I think
too complex.
Every time it happens again, it gets more massive, so we just keep pushing it farther and farther away. And the answer keeps being, well, it's just too big of a problem. We can't do
too
anything.
Too big of a problem.
And then it happens again, and then it's an even bigger problem, so we can't do anything. Until it's going to get to the point where we live in fear going to the grocery store. We live in fear every time we leave the house, something could happen, which I guess it could anyway.
Yeah.
But my God, it's insane right now.
The president was just talking last week. He did some sort of a town hall, and somebody was asking him about the guns. And I don't really want to go down a big gun control thing here, but the president was saying, look, at a minimum, if somebody's on the FBI terrorist watch list, at a minimum, can we all agree that maybe that person shouldn't be allowed to buy a gun? And that's what they tried to do in the Senate a couple of years ago, is they said, hey, how about just that? How about just if you're committed to ISIS, don't let you buy a gun. You can't get on a plane. At least maybe don't let that person buy a gun. And the Republicans filibustered it, so they couldn't even vote on it. I mean, doesn't that seem like the very least you can do?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly.
And it also seems like something everyone should be 100%
agree. Nobody should even question that.
Yeah. And this jackhole, Omar Mateen, who is the guy who shot up the nightclub, I mean, he had been on an FBI watch list. He had been interviewed two different times for suspected terrorist activity, yet he was still able to go out within the last 2 weeks and buy an AR-15. Like, at a minimum, you would think people would see this and go, well, let's at least not let that happen anymore. But that won't even happen.
Yeah, I don't
and by
so
the way,
either.
And this guy, I mean, I don't know how deep he was into ISIS. You know, he did make the 911 call right before he went down there to shoot up everybody. But, I mean, by all accounts, it was his homophobia that drove this, right? That's your understanding as well?
Yeah.
I think it's part of it, yeah.
His dad said he saw two men kissing and he wigged, okay? And then the other thing that happened yesterday that didn't get all that much press that just drove me crazy. Allie, tell me you saw the lieutenant governor of Texas.
Yeah.
Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
Minutes after this thing happened, he tweets out a Bible verse about how you can't mock God without expecting to reap what you sow.
Yeah.
So clearly his message is these people deserve to be killed because they're gay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How is his homophobia any better than the shooter's homophobia?
Well, being because it was a scheduled tweet. He didn't send that out right then. He had scheduled that the week prior, which is the biggest bull. And if anyone believes that, they're
then why
part
did
of the
he
problem.
Delete it?
Exactly. And why did he send out a press release like, "Oh, I didn't. That was a scheduled tweet." No,
I mean, it was unrelated.
Clearly, there's this guy in Texas who's, you know, doing everything but rubbing his hands together and laughing that the goddamn fags got what they wanted in his mind. You know, that's the way he looks at these people who died. Is they deserved it? They asked for it. And that's just – that's every bit as disgusting as the homophobia that's coming from ISIS. It's just – I mean, it just – the whole country just looked like a cesspool this weekend.
Yeah. It sure did.
And let's save the tape because we'll be here in a week and then we'll be here in another month. I mean, I really thought after a bunch of little kids got killed at Sandy Hook, I really thought, well, that's the tipping point.
Well, didn't you think when it wasn't? What's going to be the tipping point? Because now people are saying, well, is this the tipping point? Well, hell no. If little kids being gunned down in their school wasn't, my God, do you think a bunch of gays are hanging out in a club at 2 a.m.? That was a lot of people's reaction. Why were they at a club at 2 a.m.? Oh, go F yourself.
Someone said that?
Someone said it on the Kevin and Bean Facebook. Some asshole that listens to this show said that. These are the thoughts permeating this freaking world that we live in. It is despicable.
Nice job having a baby, Muggs.
I'm not. Wait, is that tied in?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I'm unclear on that.
He's just alleviating a lot of
I see.
The
okay.
Anger
I,
right there.
I guess I just man, it would be tough to raise a kid and explain this world to him or her. It really would.
It's yeah. One of the only times I'm happy that I'm barren and lonely when something like this happens. And I'm being completely honest. My immediate thought is, thank God I don't have to explain this. Thank God I don't
or
have
worry
to get a
about
text.
Your child every day.
I don't
day.
Have to get a text from my child like that mother got that said, please tell them I'm in the bathroom, mommy. Please, I'm hiding.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking.
And
heartbreaking.
He died. Found out last night that he died. Just,
so much, ugh. So much heartbreak. We're a dumb comedy radio show. We can't help.
We're not equipped.
There's nothing we can do. You know, we're just feeling it. You know, just feeling it like everybody else is. It's just utter despair is what it is. So I don't know what the answer is to my initial question, which is how do I not obsess over that? How do I not be depressed every day that this is the world we live in till further notice? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know how to beat that down. I really don't, but it's bumming me out.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I'm going to close my eyes, but don't worry, I'm still listening.
actor Sean Hattasy on the program today.
Now, he's a good dude.
He's a good dude, yeah.
His new show is great.
That's a tough show, man.
See, I didn't think it would be for you, but it is so for me.
A new show called Animal Kingdom.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a rough family, although quite a grandma running that place.
Mm-hmm. Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jay Moore, comedian Jay Moore, also coming in.
That'll help.
Very excited about that. That'll help. Jay makes everybody feel better.
Jay will bring the smiles.
Correct, yes. That's his slogan.
Jay Moore. I believe it says that at the improv.
I'll bring the smiles. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. I don't think so.
No?
No.
Even worse than olive chips completely.
Really? Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't play.
Yeah. It's Kevin Abine. It is 5:54.
By the way, we're giving away a trip to the Sonic Festival in Tokyo this morning between 7 and 8. That's the grand prize from last week's Festival Flyaway. And the new one just unveiled is Lollapalooza in Chicago. Kevin, you've been there. You know what a fun weekend that is.
Very fun.
Red Hot Chili Peppers and everyone else in the world are playing. We got a chance for you to qualify for that trip on 9 o'clock this morning here at K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com. Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
All right. It is Monday, so we will check out the weekend's box office. No surprise, the debuts all came in 1, 2, and 3. Conjuring 2 debuted at $40.4 million.
Oh, wow.
Chip went, and she didn't die. Chip?
No, I lived.
Let's hear your review.
A little long.
Yes.
A horror movie does not need to be 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Agreed.
But otherwise, awesome.
Excellent.
All right. That's a lot of money, by the way, for a low budget
movie.
Right?
That's what I thought. $40.4 million. That's a lot.
Yeah, good stuff.
Warcraft debuted at number 2 with $24.4 million and debuting at number 3, Now You See Me 2, with $23 million, followed by Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows, X-Men Apocalypse... what?
You know.
Okay. Apox.
Okay, 2. Let's try again.
Reciprocity.
All good. X-Men.
Apocalypse.
There you go.
Duh.
There you go.
Coming in at number 5. Me Before You at 6. The Angry Birds movie came in at number 7, followed by Alice Through the Looking Glass. Captain America Civil War. And coming in 10th, The Jungle Book at $2.7 million. Well... obviously, we touched on the awful happenings in Orlando on Saturday night, moving into most of Sunday. A horrible, horrible shooting down there. But on Friday, Christina Grimmie, a contestant on season 6 of NBC The Voice, was shot and killed after a concert of hers in Orlando as well. She was just 22 years old. The gunman made his way to Orlando from St. Petersburg with the intent to kill her. He approached Christina at the merch table where she was signing autographs after her performance. She was opening for the band Before You Exit. He shot her in the head at point-blank range, killing her instantly. Her brother Marcus tackled Kevin, and he then killed himself. Kevin had 2 handguns on him and a knife, and police have not yet been able to come up with a motive, but did say that they didn't know each other personally. They've been checking all of his social media, everything. They can't figure out why. Why
I'd be surprised if they didn't find something on his social media. Wouldn't you?
I would be.
Meaning like an obsession with her or something?
Yeah.
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 Just unreal. I don't know if you saw it over the weekend, but Eliza Schlesinger was tweeting about how it shook her to the core. Because you're up on stage doing what you love for people who are out there and you don't know what any of their intentions are. And then afterwards to go and be signing autographs at a meet and greet to meet your fans, to give of yourself even more than you just did on the stage. It's unreal. It is absolutely terrifying.
I saw that there was a lot of talk in Nashville after that, where it's very common to have meet and greets after everything, that a lot of artists are kind of revisiting that idea, wondering if it's safe anymore. Yeah. These days to do it.
And apparently they had a metal...
You are putting yourself at risk.
Did they have a metal detector? Did I read that at this venue in Orlando?
I'm not positive what you read.
You're right. Did I read that? I feel like they did have a metal detector. Or at least they go through the bags. But, you're going through a bags and, okay, you're fine. Never enough. It's never enough. Well, some good news. Oh, unless you're a Slipknot fan, then it's bad news. Slipknot's tour has been pushed back a bit. The band revealed on Facebook that singer Corey Taylor recently had spinal surgery and needs more time to get better. The Denver and Las Vegas shows canceled, but moved to different venues. And now the co-headlining tour with Marilyn Manson will start June 28th in Nashville. So it is still happening, just pushed back a bit. It's going to wrap up in Austin, Texas on August 27th. Spinal surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always rough.
Good Lord. Also rough, Taylor Swift.
Right?
Bean,
I'm sure you
got the alert.
Oof.
She is now making greeting cards.
Oh, sure.
What?
Oh, sure.
The Hollywood...
I bought her last collection through Target.
Oh, you go right to hell.
Wait, she had another collection?
Yes, this is second go-round with greeting cards, with a different greeting card company this time.
Oh, got it. Okay, so this is a new collaboration with Papyrus.
Right. She did American Greetings first time around.
Oh, my God, I can't.
I hate that you know that.
I can't. Well, these will include colorful bejeweled cards currently available in U.S. stores. But in the unveiling, the new Taylor-approved greeting cards, the card company hinted that the cards were just the beginning of a potentially larger project. What else can you do with a paper company?
That's weird.
Did I go on the Papyrus website over the weekend to see where their nearest retail location was to me? Yes, I did.
That's real.
I mean, that's troubling.
That's something you did.
It really is.
And then something he told us about.
Yeah.
Bean.
I got to support my girl.
Sure,
no.
Sure.
I mean, but you went on the website to look for a location to go buy cards.
I wasn't sure where there was a Papyrus store near me. So
is
now
there
I'm
one
all
near
in.
Enough?
Yeah, there's one in downtown Seattle, Pacific Place.
Okay.
I can go down there, yeah.
Because I feel like you could also probably buy them online, right? You don't have to be the creepy dude in Papyrus.
He needs it immediately.
Right.
I need it by noon today, Allie.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Yeah. Define a little. Hey, let's talk about some birthdays. For today, it is June the 13th. Actor Tim Allen is 63. Weezer. Singer Rivers Cuomo is 46. 46!
Wow.
Rivers.
He looks great.
Right?
He does.
Thought you were about maybe 24. I'm going to change it. Weezer singer Rivers Cuomo's 24. Comedian Steve-O.
Yeah, dude.
Right? How old would you think Steve-O was?
Steve-O is...
I'm going to say around...
32.
I was going to say 40.
He is 42 today.
Wow.
A lot of youngins, right? They look young. Actor Chris Evans is 35. Actress Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, because they're twins, you know, they are both turning 30 today. Actress Kat Dennings is 30, and DJ Snake, also 30. Not sure who DJ Snake is. Do you?
Turn down for what?
Oh, sure. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Comedian Jay Moore coming up. Also, actor Sean Hattasy on the program this morning. And, of course, more tickets for you to see potentially Lollapalooza in Chicago, including the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's a good deal right there. Monday morning means we catch up with the newsroom at TMZ.com. I think Harvey is unavailable, so our good friend Dax Holt is on the phone. Hey, Dax.
Hello. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Allie.
Hey.
Those TMZ chocolate bars, man. Super good. Super good, Dax.
They are pretty good, right?
Yes.
I only had 12. I'm still making up my mind.
And they're not small.
They're not small, no.
Huge.
They're huge.
I was kind of surprised when they dropped them off. I was like, these are going to be nasty. And then I tried them. I'm like, wow, surprisingly delicious.
Yeah, I thought they were going to outsource it to the cheapest possible chocolate. But I got to tell you, it's quality. But we are running a little low here at K-Rock, if you can put in a word for us, Dax.
You need a new shipment is what
That's really what I'm getting to.
Gotcha.
All right, well, let's talk about what's new at TMZ.com, including a great story. And I hate it when good things happen to bad people, but apparently Chris Brown got away with one.
Oh, God. So he's over in Amsterdam, all right? He was out cruising around on a dirt bike, and he did not have plates on there, so he gets pulled over by the cops in Amsterdam. And keep in mind, he had just posted a video a couple minutes before of him smoking out in a coffee shop over there.
Right.
So clearly, he was feeling pretty good with himself. And the cops pull him over, and of course, people start running over. The cop has no idea who Chris Brown is. And the guy's like, don't you know who this is? He actually called him the biggest rapper out there.
Take it easy.
All
right.
World. And you kind of hear Chris in the background. He's like, I'm not really a rapper. I'm a singer. and the cop's like, I don't know anyone unless they're Elvis, basically. And as they're talking, some old lady kind of walks up and starts trying to rat out Chris, saying that he was driving crazy through the streets. Well, the cop actually kind of let him off. He said, look, I'll give you a fine, but you're going to have to come into the station and pay that fine off. And the whole time, Chris Brown sweet talking this cop, complimenting him on his jacket, saying how good he
was.
He's doing a good job.
I really appreciate you guys, man.
I really appreciate you guys.
It's worth going to TMZ just to see the picture of Chris Brown. I mean, if you looked up high in the dictionary, this picture would be there. He's so high in this picture.
He's so high. And I'm thinking, Chris is lucky, man. He is so lucky that he did not get charged for DUI on this bike, because I'm sure if this cop could have spent a little more time, he may have busted him. But they ended up just going through it, going down to the station, paying off, and they moved along with their day.
I mean, the truth is, I don't know if he's still on probation or not anymore, but he gets in enough trouble that every time that he adds on to that, it makes his entire legal situation worse, right?
I think he's off now, if I remember correctly. I think he's off.
Well, it's a funny story. All right, let's talk about Taylor Swift. Now, it's hard to imagine having the kind of money to burn somebody like Taylor has, but tell me about this new place she's renting in New York.
So she's renting an apartment out there for $40,000 a month. It's a beautiful house.
Dax, I'm sorry, you said $40,000 a month.
Four zero a month.
You meant to say $40,000 a month.
So it's this four-story beautiful place. I guess it's got like a two-story patio and a private garage, which, you know, is not very common in New York. It's five bedrooms, six baths. It's in the West Village. And I guess the owner of it is one of the big wigs that runs the Soho House, all the Soho houses.
Right.
So she's renting it from him. She's just doing renovations on her other apartment, so she needed somewhere to stay. So she's just dropping $40,000, and she'll be there probably for a year as they do all the renovations.
Wow. That's some serious renovations. And by the way, and I know that there are a lot of people who have houses around the country, but I mean, Taylor Swift has this crazy great apartment in New York, the one that she's renovating. She has that $17 million house on the beach in Rhode Island. She's got an unbelievable place in Nashville. And I think she's got a place in Los Angeles, too.
She's got two places here in L.A. She's renovating one here in L.A. and then living in another one.
Bean knows too much.
My God.
All right. And finally, every week where we talk to Harvey, he brings up a story that involves Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna. And we always ask him this question, and now I want to ask you.
Okay.
Is there no distance from Kim that is too far out for Kardashian fans to care about and follow?
People love them. What do you want from us?
Really?
How
do they care about King Rob Kardashian?
You know, I think they love Rob because he had distanced himself so much from the Kardashians. He was like the lone Kardashian that didn't want to be involved with everyone else, and I think people appreciated him for that. But now he's kind of wrapping himself back in the circle. He and Blac Chyna have now said they want to do a TV special for their wedding. At first, they didn't want to do it, but now they're thinking they can get more than $1 million for it. So, like, why not? We saw Kim and Chris Humphries get paid a ton of money when they sold off the rights to their wedding.
Right,
so,
but she's Kim.
She's exactly. So they know they're not going to get Kim money for it, but they're doing the docuseries based on the pregnancy. So, and that does not include the wedding. So now they're going to do a separate deal just for the wedding, and they're actually going to let Kris Jenner handle all the wedding plans, because who better to make deals than Kris Jenner when it comes to making cash on, you know, selling off your personal moments?
Sure, I guess. I mean, do you feel that Rob spends a lot of his day calling up his famous sisters and brother-in-law and going, come on, please come by and be on my TV show. Come on.
No, I don't think he has to try like that. I think
really?
I think that they wanted him in their life so bad for so long that they're probably just excited that he's wanting to go out in public again and be seen and be on TV shows.
I'm sorry, are we still talking about
right?
Rob
I was
Kardashian?
Just thinking the same thing, Kevin.
Are we talking about Rob
we
still?
Are this whole time. Who cares?
His family wants him around a lot? Come on, Dax. Dax, I haven't seen him in forever.
But you got to keep him in the mix because he's the one going to keep the Kardashian name going.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's true.
You're going right to hell.
Is he still fat, Dex?
He's slimming down, you guys. He's been doing good.
All right, you can
any
see
more
all
Kardashian these questions being okay?
No, that was all. The only one I had was, is he still fat?
Is he still fat? That's all being cared about.
All these stories and so much more at TMZ.com. Look for TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4, also on Fox. TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And, of course, the TMZ Tour is available right now for your visiting relatives and friends in the summertime. TMZ.com. Dax Holt, great to talk to you, my friend. Have a good one.
Thanks guys. Later.
Who's funnier than Martin Short, you guys?
Not many people.
Not many people, right?
Mm-mm.
He's been around
Will
for a
Ferrell.
long time.
I mean, I don't think he He really wanted us to name My people.
Martin Short is great and has decades of hilarious comedy on TV and on the big screen as well. But one character that I am always so happy that he goes back to is Jiminy Glick. I was worried that we'd never see Jiminy Glick again, that there wasn't an outlet for it, because he had a couple of different TV shows where he would interview celebrities in the guise of this character, and he has brought him back for a new show that is on NBC right now. What are you laughing at, Allie?
I just you say Jiminy Glick, and I just picture him him trying to cross his legs, and I just start to laugh.
Got the pants
he's
that he pulls
so
up.
Good.
He pulls his pants up to his chest.
There's a Maya and Martin, or Martin and Maya, whatever it's called, on NBC, which is a new variety series that's only aired a couple of times, and Martin Short brings out his Jiminy Glick character, and he plays the part of an interviewer, a celebrity interviewer, who really knows nothing or next to nothing about the people that he interviews.
Gets everything wrong.
Everything wrong, right? And it's so insulting, and it's so funny, and never has any of that been more true than when he sat down with international superstar Drake on last week's show.
Hello, I'm Jiminy Glick, and I'm sitting here with an absolute living legend of rapsterdom, the wonderful Drake. How are you? What a super duper dude I hear you are.
Thank you.
This is so much fun for me, because normally I interview celebrities, so this is going to be a change. I don't know anything about you.
Now, what must it be like? I would love to know how the celebrities are prepped for an interview. I mean, they have to know what they're getting themselves into, right? They know what they're going to be
I would doing. Think it would be sure. a lot like Between Two Ferns.
Right.
So right. They right. have to be in on the joke.
But how do you not just crack up, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I do feel like they tell them to play it straight as they can, but it's very tough. Because he's used to interviewing celebrities, Kevin, but now he's got Drake in front of him.
I know that you rap.
Yeah.
Why do some people tune out rap? And particularly your rap.
I think a number one song right now, and I'm singing.
Oh, you have a number one song. What's it called?
One Dance.
Never heard it.
You knew he was going to come with never heard of it.
Yep, exactly.
And I have a feeling that if I heard it, switch it off, switch it to something different. But that's not a negative statement. It's a statement about your power. Your power to keep me interested in that full 4 seconds till I could reach over and switch. That's a gift. You're a Jewish rapper. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Do you miss the hood? And when I say hood, I mean your foreskin. Do you miss it?
Come on.
How do you answer that question if you're Drake, by the way?
I'm glad to be sort of clean cut.
Clean cut in the down their hair world.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, so you're a Canadian former child star. So literally we're talking about zero street cred.
Well, I mean...
Zero. Zero street cred.
I guess it's an
oh, wait, and your real name is Aubrey. Well, that changes it. That certainly ramps it up. You're in wonderful shape for someone who's let himself go.
I mean, it just doesn't stop, does it? And Drake is there just fighting back, trying to say anything, and he's just being steamrolled by Jiminy.
He's being the perfect street guy.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
He really is.
How do you keep in shape?
I just try and... I get rest and eat.
You get rest. Have a donut. Do you like a donut?
Probably not the best way to stay in shape, but...
Believe it's too late for you, Jim. Why do you think that only fat kids play the tuba?
Okay, now where does that question come from?
I don't know.
Why does he think Drake would have an opinion on that? I don't. It's just...
Fat kids. Kids who just... And you want to just... And they're red-haired, and you hate them.
I don't condone this message. I don't even know what...
Oh, I agree. I think the word hate is wrong.
Yeah.
Unless you're dealing with a red-haired child. I think that's okay. When an interview's supposed to go well, which... This was. I invite my guests to have a ritualistic steam bath with me. And a reflection on life, and I would wonder if you'd like to join me.
Okay, so here's we're getting near the end of the interview. He's trying to get Drake naked in the sauna. So let's see how this goes.
I think that I have other obligations.
You don't want to be naked with another man.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just
a man who might be better endowed.
I'm not. It's not a competition.
But I think it would be. I'm packing! This has been so much fun getting to know Drake. This is Jiminy Glick, and I'll see you next week.
Come on. Come on with the come on.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
And now, breaking news, boom.
What? This is what's going on.
Yeah. You guys?
Yeah?
It has been announced.
It has?
It has.
Oh, my God.
Finally.
It's been announced.
I'm so tired of waiting for whatever it is.
When is the announcement going to happen?
Right now, Kevin. The official date for season 2 of Netflix original series Narcos. All 10 episodes of Narcos will premiere on September the 2nd.
Yay!
Oh, the kids are happy.
At 12:01 a.m.
That's a great series.
People did love the Narcos.
People love the Narcos. That's exactly it. So if you missed it, that breaking news again. The drum roll again, just in case someone just tuned in. Official date. Season 2 of Netflix original series Narcos, September...
And now, breaking news, boom!
September 2nd at 12:01 a.m. I'm excited. You know it's this Friday, right?
It's Orange is the New Black Season 4.
I knew you'd know. I knew you would know. Not sure if you guys heard about this, but David Bowie's record producer, Tony Visconti, he told the UK's Mirror, quote, "We know Adele has a great voice, but it's even questionable if that is actually her voice or how much has been manipulated." What?
What does that? What?
So how are you coming at Adele? Where? What?
Is he saying studio trickery?
Yeah,
and
like
special
she can't
effects
sing
and stuff?
That good. Huh. As opposed to, you know, when you see her in concert or you see her singing with James Corden in Carpool Karaoke. Is he? What?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a strange thing to say about her.
She does seem like the last person in the world you could level those charges at.
You would think, right? Well, Adele did not take kindly to it at all. During one of her concerts last week, she mentioned Tony on stage and told the audience, quote, "Some dickhead tried to say that my voice isn't me on record. Dude, suck my beep."
And that's why she's the best.
She's amazing. And here's the apology, which I literally was like, is it this? It has to be The Onion, right? His apology is, "If Adele has taken my comments as offensive, that was certainly not my intent."
Right.
"Adele has a great voice and it brings pleasure to millions." How would you take offense to the quote of, "She has a great voice, but it's even questionable if that's actually her voice or how much has been manipulated"?
In a positive way, though. He's saying that in a positive way.
Oh, okay.
So that it is actually a compliment.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I didn't I didn't look at it
that's
like that.
That's what he's saying.
Oh, Kevin, look at you.
You're welcome.
Very good stuff. Did you hear about Zayn Malik over the weekend?
No.
Yeah, this was surprising.
Yeah. So if you went to see the big show at Wembley Stadium, it's London's massive show called the Capital Summertime Ball. He was one of the headliners. Somebody came out and said, Zayn Malik will not be performing tonight. And obviously everybody kind of flipped out. No, why? They just said he was under the weather, couldn't do it. Well, Zayn tweeted, "Unfortunately, my anxiety that has haunted me throughout the last few months around live performances has gotten the better of me." And he called it the worst anxiety attack he's ever had in his entire life. Which is, let's be honest, that's pretty big of him to come out and say that, to say, "I'm living with anxiety, it's real, and it's something that I'm struggling with."
Yeah, because he could have just left it at sick.
Absolutely. And people would have been upset, but would have, you know, just gotten over it. But now he's actually starting a dialogue with people about anxiety and how it affects millions upon millions of people.
How did he do 100 shows with One Direction with this anxiety, I wonder?
I wonder if somehow it was alleviated a bit because there were four other guys up there with him. Mm-hmm. Were there five of them?
It makes sense.
I don't know. Listen.
Four, five,
I'm
six.
Not good at math.
Yeah, there
I
were
really
five
don't
of
care.
Them. So four
yes.
other guys, right.
So I wonder if that kind of took the spotlight a little bit away from him. But since this is all his solo stuff, that's a whole other That was Tiana's back.
That was a big deal with Prince as well.
Oh,
he
yeah.
had a lot of that kind of anxiety where he was scared out of his mind to walk out on stage, which is crazy.
One of my favorite performers, Ray LaMontagne, wouldn't even look up at the audience. And there were times when he would do shows with his back to the audience. Just so, like, so freaked out. It's not funny, Kevin. It's a real
Him doing
thing.
A show with his back to the audience is funny.
That is pretty funny. But, I mean, can you imagine, though, having the slightest bit of anxiety and then knowing that you have to go in front of the Greek amphitheater audience?
Whatever I'm sorry, the Greek what?
Yep. In front of that audience. Mm-hmm. That would be hard.
He just needs to wear the Sia wig.
See, that's
comes
another
down,
thing, right?
Like right below her nose.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm glad that he's starting a dialogue because I think his anxiety is very real. And I was pleased to see some people coming out and saying, hey, we've got your back. We support you. We hope you feel better.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there had to be a lot of people who looked at that and just said, look, do your goddamn job. Go out on stage and sing for us, monkey. Right?
Right. Well, and
he's
I'm
in
sure-
the monkeys?
No, but what I mean is I'm sure that there are some people who don't think that's a legitimate illness, that he should just get over it and sing. I bet.
I'm sure, and I'm sure a lot of his audience is younger, and they have no idea what a mental illness like that can be like. So
it can be crippling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned Ray LaMontagne.
Yeah, he used to perform with his back to the audience.
I hate you so very much. I'm going to take a stab and say, Kevin, you did not watch the Tony Awards last night.
I did not.
No?
No, I was watching hockey.
I was watching hockey, too. Tony Awards were on at 8.
Okay.
You're an idiot. But that was a good try. That was nice. Hamilton was the big winner of last night's Tony Awards. They were up for 16 awards, which is
the
most.
What a shocker. What a dark horse victory.
Who knew? That's the most awards ever, but they won 11, which is just one short of the producer's all-time best with a record of 12. I will say this. I watched it.
Okay.
Because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. James Corden. Phenomenal. He's just an amazing host. His opening number was wonderful. He then addressed the shootings in Orlando and how basically the Tonys and Broadway in general is such an inclusive group and they welcome everyone, race, religion, creed, color, sexual orientation, everything. So this was a night to come together. So it was beautiful. And then it was amazing. And of course, the man behind Hamilton. Good Lord. He could do no wrong. What's his name? Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Big fan, are you?
Huge fan. Huge
I could tell you were looking for that name. I didn't have
like,
it,
but
if I did, I would not have given it to you.
He had a beautiful speech, and he was so lovely, and the whole show was wonderful. But I will say this. I expected Hamilton to win everything, and I was expected to be wowed most by their performance.
Mm-hmm.
The women on stage that did the number from The Color Purple blew me away, and I'm shocked that show hasn't gotten the publicity that Hamilton has, because it was like otherworldly, these women up there. Yes, go ahead.
We still talk about the Tonys?
Listen, you talked about the Kardashians for like 5 minutes straight, about a guy that sells socks, so you can suck it, Bean. All these people were born today, June 13th. Actor Tim Allen is 63. Weezer singer Rivers Cuomo is 46. What age did we agree we would settle on for him?
I think he was 34.
Let's go with 34, because you are not 46, Rivers. You are not. Steve-O is 42. Actor Chris Evans is 35. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen are 30 years old. Actress Kat Dennings, also 30. And DJ Snake.
Turn down for what?
Right? Couldn't have a party machine without him.
You really couldn't. Turn down for what? I mean, you could turn it down.
For what?
Really? Is 30 years old. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Speaking of that band right there, you can see the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Lollapalooza in Chicago at 9 o'clock this morning. We will qualify you for that. Get all the details at krock.com. So this weekend, an awful weekend, another stain on American history as 50 people were killed and another 50-plus were injured in that nightclub shooting in Orlando. I know that a lot of our listeners are like Kevin. They don't watch the news because they're kids. So here's a quick recap of what went down on Saturday night.
Our collective sense of security was shattered again today by terror, this time inside an Orlando nightclub. 50 people are dead, so many that authorities are resorting to posting their names on a website, a site still overwhelmed tonight as people try to account for friends and loved ones. The shooting massacre inside the Pulse nightclub, popular in Orlando's gay community, ranks as the single deadliest shooting attack in American history. More than 50 others were wounded. NBC News has learned the killer, a 29-year-old man named Omar Mateen, and had previously been investigated by the FBI and pledged his allegiance to the leader of ISIS just before launching his attack. Some victims were cut down where they stood or as they ran, as others hid or escaped through a courtyard, and still others awaited what would be a dramatic rescue by SWAT teams, which killed the attacker in a harrowing gun battle.
So there you go. So we were talking this morning when we came on. We vented a little bit about the frustration about how this is just the latest in a long line of mass shootings. You know, America leads the world by far in mass shootings. And they become so commonplace now that we're always, you know, saddened when it happens. But I don't think we're shocked anymore when it happens. And I don't think we ever think, okay, this is going to be the last one. This is going to be the turning point. We're going to get a handle on this and it's not going to happen again, because it's going to happen again. And we know it's going to happen again. And that's one of the frustrating things about this, is knowing that we've come to accept it. But one angle that I'd love to hear from our listeners on is, I don't know anything about guns. A lot of people in our audience do, and a lot of people have guns and love guns and respect guns and believe they have a right to guns, which they do in this country. I don't know anything about guns, but I don't understand why anyone needs an AR-15. That's what I'm looking for help with.
This is the gun that he used, and it's also been used in some of the other attacks.
San Bernardino, Newtown.
Right, yeah. Aurora. This is the gun of choice for people who want – these are semi-automatic killing machines, basically, for people who want to kill a lot of people in a short amount of time. You can kill 100 people in a couple of minutes with a gun like this. And I don't know why a person would need a gun like that. And that's the help that I'm looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Because the two things that I always hear thrown about to defend guns is protection, self-protection. Somebody comes after my family, my home. I need to be able to protect myself. But I don't know that I've ever one time heard of somebody protecting his house with an AR-15. Am I missing that? Does that happen?
I've never heard of that.
No. Allie, do you know?
I've never heard of that. I would think a handgun would do the trick if it's for safety.
And the other thing is hunting. I have heard, hey, people want to have weapons like this for hunting. And I just don't know enough about guns to know how that makes any sense. Because in my mind, I don't know how you could shoot a deer, for instance, with 30 bullets and how that would make it something that you could then eat. I'm ignorant on the topic of why a person would need an AR-15.
Is that the maximum amount of bullets that it has? 30?
Let's find out. Let's find out from our listeners. I mean, I think you can shoot hundreds of bullets with an AR-15, is my understanding.
Right.
I don't know enough about the topic to know why an AR-15 is something. And I guarantee we have a lot of our listeners who own AR-15s. And I don't understand what the point of that is. Kevin, you love shooting guns.
I do,
when you go to like a gun range or something like that in Las Vegas. You would look at something like an AR-15 as being fun because you could pretend that you're in a movie. But can you imagine a real world scenario where you would use one?
No, I can't. A
Fear the Walking Dead type situation happening in real life?
No, I can't. I'm not a hunter either. So I can't imagine how you would need that weapon.
Yeah.
And we're saying up front, we're pretty naive when it comes to this. We don't have the answer.
But, I certainly don't.
But couldn't part of the answer be, let's not give AR-15s to everybody?
I mean, I'm wondering if that's a conversation worth having. I mean, I know that that is something that the president has been interested in, at least toughening background checks on people who want to buy these kinds of weapons, because they're very dangerous and they can create a phenomenal amount of carnage in a very short period of time. So
you mean a background check like this guy just got guns in the last couple of weeks and was looked after twice by the FBI? What point is a background check then not enough?
Well,
when you've got this guy.
I feel like they're not really doing a background check on that guy.
I mean, this guy was a terrorist sympathizer. We knew that. We didn't know that he was identifying himself as in support of ISIS until it was too late, until the 911 call on the way to create the massacre. But yeah, you're right, Ali. The fact that the FBI had already interrogated this guy two different times for terrorist ties, it seems like maybe don't give him the AR-15.
Yeah, and he had a security officer's license and a statewide firearms license. So this guy had everything legally that he should to have the stuff. So
I also don't know what mechanism they would use for the gun store owner to have that guy's name. I don't know how they would do that, but don't sell the AR-15 to that guy.
Right.
I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue, and this is what we came on the air talking about first thing this morning, which is in many ways it seems so big with so many people with conflicting interests that it doesn't seem like there's ever going to be any kind of a compromise. But I do think it might be at least enlightening, I know for me and hopefully for other listeners, to talk to people like Jim on line 3. He's in Huntington Beach. He has two AR-15s. So maybe he can shed some light on why these weapons are necessary. Jim, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for calling in, man.
Hey, you live.
Wrong show, but we accept it as a compliment. Thank you. Look, let me just say again, Jim, I'm not coming after you. I'm not coming after your guns. I don't think you're a bad guy. I need you to help me understand why the AR-15 is a weapon that you need to own two of.
Well, my point is, in Mexico, there's no guns allowed. So, and the bad guys have the guns. The citizens don't. So when someone or something in your neighborhood comes out and they have an AR-15 and you're trying to defend your house with a handgun, you're completely at your disadvantage. Complete disadvantage. I've owned guns since I'm 21. I'm 47 now. I carry them with me when I travel to Arizona. Not all of them, but I always have a gun with me. I've never needed to pull it. I've never needed to use it, but I've always had it in case I break down.
Jim, how many times have you heard stories of somebody attacking a single house with an AR-15?
Okay. Where was this? The shootings were at? I'm not saying somebody needs to
carry
an AR-15
nightclub.
In a nightclub. Yeah. Nobody needs to carry an AR-15 in a nightclub. But what happens when something catastrophic in the neighborhoods happen and it happens in your neighborhood, not just the nightclub?
Give me an example of that. Like, I made the joke about a Fear of the Walking Dead type scenario where there's a zombie apocalypse. That's probably not going to happen. What in the real world could happen where you see yourself going out into your driveway with an AR-15 and it being helpful?
Okay. Now I'm going to sound crazy, but here you go.
All right.
In a real world situation and war breaks out and they shut down the power grid, we lose power. Within a couple of days, we won't be able to pump gas. You can't go to the store and pay to pump gas because the guy behind the computer can't push the button or swipe the credit card to make it work. You won't be able to go to the grocery store and buy groceries. What's going to happen to this world in 3 to 5 days when we don't have power?
And Jim,
it'll consume itself.
How likely is that? How likely do you think that is?
You don't think on the next war that we might have that they're not going to go for the power first?
I don't see how an AR-15 helps you, though, if somebody cuts the power. How does an AR-15 help you?
What's going to happen when total chaos breaks out, when the power goes out and nobody can buy groceries or water? And then what's going to happen?
I feel like a lot of people are going to be trying to get those things and you're going to shoot them.
Well, okay. Or they're going to take them from you.
So your fear is that the world devolves into chaos and people come to your home trying to steal your food, and that's why you need an automatic weapon.
I told you that would sound weird, but no, that's not my fear. I do not live in that fear at all. But in the situation that if it does happen, why not?
Okay.
Why not defend yourself properly?
Okay. All right. I don't think you convinced me, but I appreciate your call and your sincerity. Thank you very much. We got to take a very quick break. I apologize. Robert from West Covina, you hang on. We do want to get to you as well. And a bunch of other calls on the line, 1-800-520-1067. A lot of our listeners have AR-15, so be nice to our listeners, I think, is one takeaway. Your call's next on K-Rock. Once again, I don't know anything about guns, but I am reading this on the Fox News website. The AR-15 is the most popular rifle in the United States. There are an estimated 9 million in circulation as of 2014. It was the gun of choice for massacres in San Bernardino, where 16 people at a holiday party were gunned down, at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, where 26 children and staffers were murdered, at the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, where 12 were killed, and, of course, this weekend's Orlando massacre as well. The rifle is a favorite in part because it's highly customizable, the NRA blog notes. It also accommodates high-capacity magazines that can fire off 100 rounds or more within minutes. We've seen a lot of bad things that can be done. Those are some good examples of bad things being done with an NRA. What good things can be done with an NRA? Because
you
say
an NRA, you mean AR-15.
AR-15, I'm sorry. Because that's why you would own one, is because you hope it will do you some good. And that's what I'm looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start in West Covina. Let's talk to our man Robert. He's been patiently holding on line 8.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Great. Thank you for calling, sir.
Good. Yeah, you know what? I have a couple AR-15s, and you know what? The AR-15, it's just got a bad rap. It's the AR-15, like any gun, it's just a tool. It's the individual behind that tool that makes the decision. So whether you have an AR-15...
But to me, Robert, it seems like if the guy in Orlando had a pistol, you don't kill 50 people.
Well, I mean, you could kill 50 people with a pistol.
I know you can, but I'm saying the AR-15 is much, much quicker. No, is it not?
I mean, they're all semi-automatic. An AR-15 is not a fully automatic weapon.
Right.
The only fully automatic weapon is an M16, and that's only for the military.
Right.
I just feel that the AR-15 has got a bad rap. The way the pit bull. You know, I remember a couple of years when the pit bull, everybody was getting attacked by pit bulls, and the media just jumped on that, and the pit bull was like, I mean, if you had a pit bull, you were, you know, Satan's child, because, you know, it's like, you know, don't have a pit bull. The pit bulls are bad dogs. And
plus his music blows.
Oh, no, we're not talking about the singer. Right? We're not talking about the worldwide superstar guy. No.
Oh.
No, I see your point there. What you're saying is, a million people have pit bulls, but if 5 people get bit, all of a sudden everybody's down on pit bulls. And you're saying it's the same thing. The relative number of AR-15 massacres is so small compared to the 9 million people that own AR-15s that you think the weapon gets a bad rap.
Exactly.
I think that's a very legitimate way to put it in a context. But is it worth it for you to have one and never shoot it, and also let the other guy in Orlando have one and use it to kill 50 people?
I mean, I understand stuff like this is going to, unfortunately, it's going to happen. There's going to be guns. He bought it legally. There's going to be guns that are going to be going into that people are going to be purchased legally.
Right.
And they're just going to be off the rocker. They're going to have an agenda, and they're going to, you know, have the mindset where they're going to want to do harm and go do crazy things. And unfortunately, I mean, people like that, they're going to be far and in between, but they're going to slip through the cracks.
Right, but what we're saying is we don't know the answer, but maybe part of the answer is not giving that guy a semi-automatic, you know, an AR-15.
But remember, he bought it legally.
Right, I'm saying, why?
You know,
does that happen?
Kevin's saying eliminate the actual option.
I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. I don't understand why it's necessary. Look, we all understand the Second Amendment. You can own a gun. Got it.
Right.
AR-15 is really for mowing people down. I mean, it's basically for the military as well, isn't it?
Well, it's a civilian version of the M16, right? But like I said, it's the same thing with an AK-47. If people were out there shooting other people with AK-47, we wouldn't hear about the AR-15. We'd hear about the AK-47.
You know, glad you called, Robert. We appreciate your opinion, sir. Thanks so much. Let's go to George. He's in Northridge. He's on line 7. He may have an explanation for us, I think.
Hey, George.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for calling. What's going on, man?
You bet. Well, thanks for the political news show. I appreciate it.
I got to tell you, when you say how you doing, normally we're good, but we're really exasperated by this type of day, this type of thing that happens. It's really frustrating.
Everybody's emotional, and obviously it's a horrible thing. But just a little bit of perspective on gun rights. When the Constitution was framed 200 years ago, the framers were concerned about the tyranny of the government, and they allowed the states to create what's called a militia, which is people gathering up to protect themselves. During the Northridge earthquake, there was no power in the valley for 3 days, and like this previous caller pointed out, things could have gone crazy. I remember personally, I was driving around with a handgun in my car.
I was there as well, and I didn't need a gun.
Well, you didn't, but there were long lines at the gas station, and
right.
If something went crazy, it would have been nice to have had one. The whole point of the – and let's – maybe you guys should change the discussion to assault rifles rather than the AR-15, because if you ban the AR-15, everyone's going to get an AK-47. So, I mean, really the discussion...
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's legit. Look, I said when we came on, I don't know anything about guns. And if you're telling me an AK-47 and an AR-15 are about the same thing and they're both just as bad, then yeah, that's fine. What assault rifles is what we're talking about. I think what I'm talking about are weapons that are designed, built, sold, and bought for one reason, which is to kill large quantities of humans. And that's the only reason these weapons exist, and the only reason they're bought, and the only reason they're sold, and the only reason they're used is to kill large numbers of people at the same time. Is there any other explanation? No, tell me. Tell me.
That's not correct, because a weapon that's designed to kill a large quantity of people is typically called a bomb. An AR-15 is not necessarily designed to kill a large quantity of people. It can be designed to protect you in the event there's an assault. It could be just from one person. But if you need multiple rounds to protect yourself because you can't hit the guy in the first shot, the AR-15 is there for you. But again, the point is, with the whole assault rifle thing, it's legal because in this country, we have the freedom to protect ourselves from the government. Hey, if Donald Trump gets elected and starts rounding up anybody with a tan, you know, what are you going to do with the handgun? At least you and your neighbors can gather up and maybe sort of protect yourselves, at least try. And that's the whole point of the Constitution, because we don't necessarily trust our government.
Well, George, you started this with saying the Second Amendment was made at a very different time in our country. But now
those were muskets they were talking about,
right? Those were muskets. And if are we that concerned that there's going to be this government take, like things are going to go back to those times, militia times?
I don't know that you can necessarily be that concerned about it right now, but I don't think you can ignore a chance. The idea that our government can at some point get way too much power. I mean, you know, they do have more power now than they did 200 years ago. I mean, with all these drones that kill people and whatnot, and, you know, the tanks and all that, the government has that stuff. We don't. If our government ever decided to turn on us, it would be a lot quicker to get rid of us now than it did, you know, than it would have been 200 years ago. But again, I think you just have to look at this in perspective. I mean, people have been facing disasters throughout entire human history, whether it's some other a-hole's army that comes along and wipes you out or it's a natural disaster. I mean, human beings are not guaranteed, you know, the right to live. We have to fight to protect ourselves. That's
all
human nature.
All right. I'm going out right now. I'm going to leave the show right now at 7:30 to go out and buy an assault rifle. I feel better. You won me over.
I don't know that
Thank you very much for the call, George. I appreciate that. Look,
you need a weapon.
We're not going to. I don't want
but
a weapon.
You shouldn't get a weapon.
We're not going to solve this today.
I know. That's the frustrating thing.
But I will say that now that I know how many of our listeners have assault rifles, I'm going to be a lot nicer at the meet and greets. Our friend, the great comedian Jay Mohr, is going to be joining us on the line in about 20 minutes or so. He is performing at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills this Saturday night. Man, is he funny. Man, is he the best. So we'll talk to Jay coming up. First, though, the Kevin Amin Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. This is our 24-hour-a-day voicemail. You call us on any topic and leave a message.
Bean does the show from his house and occasionally gets hot and will open windows. And when he opens windows, everybody hears birds. And we said, hey, Bean, how about closing those windows? And he said, nobody can hear the birds.
Okay, seriously, are we broadcasting from a jungle? Can someone give Bean a BB gun so we can take care of those birds?
A BB gun. How about an assault rifle? Huh? They're very hot right now.
Hey, it's Antonio from Baldwin Park. I'm here to make sure that Steve gets his breaks. So, Alan McKay, just let me know if you need somebody to hit it.
Oh, Antonio.
Right? Well done, sir.
You don't need to call the Afro line with every single piece of information.
Oh, man, Kevin and Bean, it's like 2, 3 in the morning. I can't fart. Damn.
Okay.
Thanks for thinking of us. Thoughts?
Hey, guys, I wanted to see if you got that new nifty noise voice changer thing. You guys could play the Ally McKay beer mug mashup.
No.
Oh, it would be so great.
Nope.
Oh,
we do not need that.
I'd like to hear that.
I don't think we have the technical ability to do
that
yet.
That is too bad. Oh, no.
Yet.
Oh, dear.
But we will work on it as it is a worthy idea.
I don't think it is.
And we'll make it happen.
I don't think we need it in any capacity.
We will make it happen. And now some love for Bean.
I can't say
reciprocity.
Bean.
No, show off.
I beat it now.
Hey, Chip, can we hear that one more time? Reciprocity. 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 Come on, Bean.
And now, a moment with Bean.
But in the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more. One more. Reciprocity?
Yes, thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
A lot of people seem to enjoy that one.
Yeah, they sure do.
How about this request?
Please play Bean trying to say reciprocity at half speed. Please, please, please. Hit it, Steve.
And now,
this is going to take a long time.
With Bean. But the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more. One more.
Reciprocity? Yes, thank you.
That was a moment with
I me. Love how drunk we are at half speed. Yeah, you're. I sound like that at full speed. You guys sound like that only when we do it at half speed. And one last request. Finally, I think we've beaten up on Bean a lot.
Yeah.
In this particular Afro bat. So maybe one call in his favor.
You know what my alarm wake up song is? Bean's a dick. Hit it, Steve.
Bean's a dick, dick, dick. What a dick, dick, dick. Bean's a dick, dick, dick. What a giant dick, dick. Bean's a dick, dick, dick.
That's
Bean's a dick, what? Dick, dick. Bean's a dick.
That's
dick,
fine.
Dick. What a dick, 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 dick.
Okay,
Bean's
let's
a dick, dick. Dick, dick, dick.
Sing it if you know it.
Bean's a giant dick. Dick, dick, dickity dick. Dick, 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 dick. Bean's a dick.
All right, we're out of time. You can call.
Bean is a dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick. Bean, 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 bean.
The Apple line is. Kevin Bean.
Dick Bean's a dick.
323-520-AFRO.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. Jay Moore coming up just after the top of the hour.
Hey, let's congratulate that lady who won the thing.
Nancy Michelle Silva from Moreno Valley not only won tickets to see Panic at the Disco and Weezer here in town.
Yeah.
She's going to see them in Tokyo as well.
Yay!
Wow. How about that? Airfare Hotel. It's the Summer Sonic Festival. It's a lot of bands other than even the ones that we mentioned. So she's
Yeah, Radiohead, 1975 at the drive-in. It's a great little festival going on there in Tokyo. And we were talking about last week as we were giving away the qualifying prize that none of us have ever been to Japan, and it's on our list of a place we're dying to go. So congratulations to you. What's her name one more time?
Nancy Michelle Silva.
Well done, what? Nancy.
What? Do you think she needs a plus one?
I was thinking, is that where you were going with this?
Hey, no, we've never been.
Just wanted to give her due and congratulate her. That's all. Of course, it's another week. That means another flyaway festival. This time it's Lollapalooza in Chicago. Your chance to qualify for that at 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. Jay Moore joins us right after the top of the hour after Allie takes a look at the showbiz beat.
It's the number one trend right now on Twitter, and it's Microsoft. And I thought, well, what the heck's happening with Microsoft? It's actually LinkedIn is the number one trend. Microsoft just announced a deal to acquire LinkedIn for $196 per share That's an all-cash deal valued at $26.2 billion. Well, am I missing something? Bean, you think that LinkedIn is very popular.
It is very popular. Look, you're not looking for a job. People who are,
well,
that's the networking that goes on. That's the, hey, you know a guy who knows a guy. Now I know that guy. That's what people are using LinkedIn for.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's a very useful tool.
$196 per share.
Yeah.
Have you bought any yet, Bean?
I have not.
His money's tied up elsewhere.
I think I have my fortune in Twitter that it's lost 70% of its value since I bought it.
Oh, goodness. Well, today is Monday, and we like to look at the box office numbers. Coming in number one, Conjuring 2 debuted at $40.4 million.
You are all going to die tonight.
We might. Warcraft debuted at $24.4 million. Now You See Me 2 debuted $23 million at number three, followed by number four, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, X-Men Apocalypse at five, six, Me Before You, seven, Angry Birds, eight, Alice Through the Looking Glass, nine, Captain America Civil War, and rounding out the top 10 was The Jungle Book, making $2.7 million. Now, with the success of the O.J. Simpson miniseries and FX's American Crime Story, CBS wants in on the action.
Okay.
CBS is now working on a new limited series about Patty Hearst's 1974 kidnapping by the Symbionese Liberation Army.
Now, see, I don't know anything about interesting. That. I know that surprises you guys, but I don't know anything about it.
It does. I'm sure Bean knows. It's going to follow the FBI's 19-month search for the heiress, who actually developed Stockholm Syndrome during this whole ordeal and started sympathizing with her kidnappers, changed her name to Tanya. And it was a huge, huge deal at the time.
And in a couple of months, we'll be our friend Chris Hardwick's mother-in-law.
It sure will. He is marrying Patty Hearst's daughter, Lydia. But, Bean, what do you think? Would you watch that?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, yeah. And it's the kind of story that has been off the, you know, out of the news for so long that it would be new to a lot of people. And it's one of those, it's just truth stranger than fiction. It was just a weird, weird series of events. She was a very high profile, very wealthy heiress who was kidnapped and turned into a life of crime. I mean, it's a pretty captivating story.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is very good. Also amazing. Imagine just being at a garden party in England and then a guy just starts playing a little acoustic set. And that guy is Tom York from Radiohead.
Did he have the man bun going like he seems to be doing on all these recent appearances?
There is some video, so it's worth a check. A guy on Reddit posted that his dad sent him a text saying that he's in Oxford at a garden party with Susie's neighbors, about to hear entertainment from a neighbor named Tom York. He's from Radiohead.
What the hell?
Can you imagine your dad just like, gonna see another neighbor of Susie's?
Your dad has no idea.
He has no idea.
Wow.
None. Yeah, apparently he played for 30 minutes performing Desert Island Disc, No Surprises, Sweet Spirit, Street Spirit. I just called it Sweet
you
Spirit.
Did.
Good times. Mm-hmm. Reckoner and I Might Be Wrong. So that's not a bad garden party. What?
In the category of garden parties, that's probably the best.
Right? Usually you're just bit by something and spill something on you. Who's with me? Garden party goers?
Nobody.
I think anyone is.
Nobody is. Hey, did Sylvester Stallone steal the idea for his new reality competition, Strong?
I don't know.
Well, he's just been slapped with a lawsuit by a man named Robert Fletcher. He claims he shopped around a show called America's Next Great Trainer back in 2014. And he alleges that Strong is nearly an identical program to his. But here's where it gets suspicious. Todd Durkin, who trains on Sylvester Stallone's new project Strong, was also attached to his show.
Oh.
Oh. That's suspect. Is it not? He is asking for a minimum of $7 million in damages.
You're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
Well, $7 million of something that might have been someone else's idea. That's a lot. Today, June 13th, all of these stars were born. Tim Allen is 63. Kat Dennings is 30. Also 30, DJ Snake. Also
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull out your tuff, cause you noticed that butt was stuffed.
deep in her jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring.
Nope.
Oh, baby, I want to get with you.
That is,
and take
not,
your picture.
That's not DJ Snake.
No,
that is,
but it's Lil Jon.
That is
He's
not Lil Jon.
Yeah.
That's
Lil Jon sings the hook.
No.
Pretty sure.
No, that's actually some audio we got of Rodney doing karaoke in Japan.
We're going to have to disagree.
Okay. Good point. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen are also turning 30 today. Actor Chris Evans is 35. And our friend Steve-O is 42 today. I'm Allie McKay and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Just going to let it end completely. Okay, there we go. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:10.
Well, it's hard to give away stuff and talk over records, right? And you're new at the job.
Right.
So I can see how there would be a lot of surprises.
It may have been a mistake.
Where the hell is funny man Jay Mohr?
Are you asking us? Because
I don't
think we know.
We understood that he was going to be on the phone here, yet I don't see him on the phone here, which concerns me. Jay is playing this weekend, by the way, at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills on Saturday night. Tickets available right now through Ticketmaster.com or jaymohr.com. I guarantee he'll be there because that's a paid gig. Maybe not here so much. Since we have a minute, though, what about this 73-year-old man in Seattle who did maybe the most unexpected thing you would ever expect a guy to be doing while being pulled over by a police officer on a traffic stop? What about this guy?
Yeah, he gets a ticket. The cop's behind him, and then he starts snorting coke.
Oh.
After he's pulled over.
Yes.
Good evening. Hello. Officer Absol from Seattle Police Department. This stop scene audio and video recorded. Do you know why I'm stopping you?
I have no idea.
Your headlights are off.
Oh, I apologize.
That's your driver's license. Yep, that's it. All right, stay in the vehicle. I'll run your license. I'll be back to you in a minute, okay?
All right, so the cop goes back to his car so he can run the plate and the license and everything.
All right, now let me ask you this. When you're in this situation, Kevin, and you've been in this situation more than anybody, you've got that 2, 3, 4 minutes, whatever it is, to kill while the police officer is running your information. And
right.
See, what are you doing in the car?
Not snorting coke.
Right, you're doing... Yeah. Anything you can do to make sure that you don't call attention to yourself.
Right.
Yeah. You're not getting out of the car. You're
Heads
not making any sudden moves.
Right.
You want to make sure that you're not hiding anything under the seat. You know, whatever it is, you want to be as low pro as possible so you don't give this cop any additional reason to come down on you. This guy probably said, hey, I got 5 extra minutes. Time to take a hit.
But so he's still doing it when the cop comes back, and the cop can't believe for the life of him that this guy is snorting coke.
It's good audio.
Yep.
just cars going by.
What's in your left hand? Nothing.
What's in your left hand? Nothing. It's pretty easy to disprove, isn't it? If there's something in your left hand and the cop's standing right there.
You'd think.
Show me your left hand. What is that?
Nothing.
Are you kidding? You're about to snort coke on the side of the road?
No.
I don't know why there's jingle bells, honestly.
Why is Santa there?
I have no idea why there's jingle bells in the middle of this audio.
By the way, this police report, the unidentified man got frightened, causing him to spill the white... not unidentified to the police, unidentified to the public in the story. The unidentified man got frightened, causing him to spill the white powder all over his hands, all over the car floor.
Oh,
and eventually, he told the police it was vitamins. Because you know how you have to snort vitamins when you have a spare minute.
You're about to snort coke on the side of the road?
No.
No. Don't be ridiculous.
Really? Really? What was it?
Nothing.
I'm watching you do it.
It's nothing.
It's nothing. The cop watched him snort coke, and the guy says, nothing.
Do you think maybe his age played a part, too? Like, this 73-year-old dude could not possibly be about to snort coke in front of me. For some reason, maybe I'm naive. I just don't think of Grandpa.
I wouldn't
just
think
blowing
so either,
lines.
But he's watching it happen, and Grandpa's saying, there's nothing going on.
But we've tried that, Kevin. You know that. You know how you just deny it and you hope that there's some sort of a brain synapse misfiring.
You just say something. You just completely lie and you hope that they are just – their mind goes blank for a second.
Right.
And then you can just pull away and they go, what happened?
Plus the bells and Santa. You don't really
Santa,
know what's happening.
I don't know why he's there. All right. Here's a little bit more of the call.
I got some vitamin pills that I take. That's not a vitamin.
I know.
Why, what would possess you to do that on a traffic stop with a police officer right behind you? I just don't understand.
I don't understand either.
The Seattle Police Department, by the way, issued a statement. Please abstain from using cocaine, especially during a traffic stop. That was a public service announcement.
Wow, that's a good public service announcement.
But public.
That for one guy.
Right, exactly.
Who it may be too late for.
I've never had a traffic ticket. I just saw that. I was going to come up and give you a warning.
That's what he was going to do. He was just going to warn him.
Oh, gosh.
Now he's snorting coke. Don't do that, I think is our advice.
Don't do that. Right. Our old friend actor Sean Hattasy joins us in moments here on The Kevin and Bean Show, who was so great for all those years on Southland. And, of course, Fear the Walking Dead, a lot of good stuff. He's in a new series called Animal Kingdom. We'll talk to him on the way here on K-Rock. First, though, we all woke up, as many of our listeners did, a little bummed out about the events in Orlando. And I thought, you know who's going to cheer us up? You know who America's dad is? Who's going to put this all into perspective and make us feel better about the country in which we live is our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, who joins us on the phone right now on K-Rock. Hey, Doc.
Well, that's a tall order, Bean, and I hope I can make people feel better. But just like everyone, I'm struggling too.
Yesterday morning, my wife told me there's been a shooting, and just like a child, like the child I am, I thought, I'm just going to wait for a couple of hours because I don't want to see that. It'll still be on in a couple of hours. And then you go to it, and you just get sick to your stomach.
And it's also symptomatic of the fact that we've been dealing with this so much, so often, it's almost unimaginable. I said after Sandy Hook that I felt like we'd really crossed over. Something had happened to this country, and I've not been proven wrong. Now I'm starting to wonder, we have so – you know all these middle-aged men that are killing themselves? You heard about that epidemic right now?
No, I don't. I haven't heard that, no.
All right, well, there's a suicide epidemic right now in middle-aged men.
So this is your way of bringing us back up?
Well, hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm starting to wonder if the homicide and the aggression is an expression of the same thing in younger men. They're unmoored. They don't have a direction. They have no values. They don't have a purpose. There's no passion. And I think, you know, when you have organizations like ISIS out there offering them eternal salvation, some small percentage of these vulnerable people sort of go that direction. Mental illness has a big piece here, but this transcends that. This is, we have to begin to offer something in our society that makes people engaged and it brings people back. And even if you are bipolar or angry or bigoted, somehow we can land you and bring gaff you on board and make you understand what the values are here and the purpose of living. It's so insane that we have one of the things that, you know, Bob Forrest and I do a podcast called This Life, and we spend all of our time talking about what to do with these young males, particularly that can't find meaning and don't want to get off the couch. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting angle that deserves to be explored. And I also wanted to ask you a bunch of questions, Dr. Drew. We really appreciate you squeezing us in today because we know how busy you are. And the first one is, can you help me and others who feel like me that just feel – we talked about this first thing this morning when we came on – mired in hopelessness that this is the new reality? Like, how do we compartmentalize things like Orlando and Aurora and San Bernardino and Newtown and not – become obsessed with, hey, the next one's only a few days away?
You know, Bean, I feel the hopelessness, and I understand why you would feel that way, but you must not. You if you have children at home, if you have a family that you love, on behalf of even your local community, you must not roll over. You have to double down. And we have to – I just – the words that keep occurring to me are the words like faith, virtue, values. We have to really double down on creating meaning and giving back and finding purpose and giving people what America has always given them, which was an extraordinary reason to live. We seem to have lost that in some weird way, and particularly for certain populations of males, and particularly young males.
Mm-hmm. We have to reach out. And also we have to get people help. If people have mental health problems, we got to understand how to identify those things and refer those things. Because in terms of see something, say something, it's no longer okay to have somebody just espousing hate and aggression and violence. You got to listen, this transcends, I said, mental health, but these people will respond to mental health interventions. So we need sort of a two-pronged approach. Go ahead.
And in this particular case with Omar Mateen, the shooter in Orlando, I mean, after the fact, it's easy to connect all these dots. When you've got his ex-wife saying that he was abusive, you've got former coworkers saying he had talked about killing before. Obviously, he'd been interviewed two separate times by the FBI because they thought there were possible terrorist ties. I mean, there were a lot of reasons why this guy was, again, after the fact, it's easy to say, was a powder keg.
Bean, it's similar to what people were saying around the San Bernardino shooters, which was, we thought something was up. We knew something was wrong, but we were afraid to say anything. I think if there's anything to channel our friend Adam Carolla, it's time to judge. It's time to use our judgment.
So is Donald Trump not wrong when he says, hey, quit being so politically correct and don't be afraid to call the police, you know, and report somebody?
Yes, what you said is right. I'm not sure I've heard those words from Donald Trump. But
look, how they stopped the guy in West Hollywood. Right?
That's exactly right. It's that it is time to judge, not to in order to be judgmental, but it's time to use our judgment and take action. When things don't feel right to us, we must not just see something and make note of it, but we must take action. And we got to do same people that you need to get together and double down and not be afraid to take people that are on the fringes and bring them on in. Not because we are judgmental, but because we're concerned for their well-being. And by the way, we've hit a time in our country where individual rights have trumped the rights of the rest of us. We need, as a community, to assert our privileges for safety, well-being, being healthy. And it's okay to judge someone who is outside of that and bring them on in for their own benefit. Believe me, I've seen that through my practice through years and years. People that don't want to get well are much happier when they do. Just right. Because they don't want your help doesn't mean they don't need it and doesn't mean they should be coerced in some way. Now, I don't mean, you know, coercion maybe is not the right word. They should be brought in because, trust me, they are the ones that benefit as much as the rest of us do.
Certainly. All right. I want to cover one more quick angle on this, Dr. Drew, and this is something else that was very upsetting, is it appears that Omar Mateen's motivation was, as best we know now, some of it may have been ISIS-related, he may have been radicalized, but some of it appears to have been his homophobia, that he was upset, his father said he was upset by seeing two men kissing. That is, I mean, are we making, I want to think we're making progress with most people on acceptance of gays in this country, but then I saw the thing of the lieutenant governor in Texas, Dan Patrick, who tweeted a Bible verse shortly after.
Down a Bible verse every Sunday. Allegedly, that was just a coincidence.
What he says, is that it was auto-tweeted, basically.
Yeah.
But I mean,
tell people what that was.
The message was, he said, if you mock God, you reap what you sow. And it seemed to be in direct relation to these gays deserve to be killed because they were mocking God by being homosexual. And I feel like that kind of institutionalized homophobia from somebody who's elected in this country is every bit as terrible as what was in the heart of this shooter.
In fact, Bean, I am dedicating my HLN program today to the LGBT community. We're going to fill my audience with just members of that community, and I want to hear from them. I want to hear how bad it is from their perspective. It's easy for us to sit here and say, oh, yeah, that's awful. How about if you're really the object of it? And how about if you're a young male trying to decide whether you should come out or not and you hear this stuff? I mean, imagine that. It's insane. Listen,
I know that most people in this country who are homophobic don't want them to die. But you know what? They're also the same people who don't want them to marry and don't want them to use the bathroom and don't want them to be able to buy a wedding cake. And all there's a lot of ways to be homophobic killing.
And there's also a lot of way to be hateful. And believe me, we now have killings of African Americans in their church. We have killings of LGBT in their clubs. We have. I think, you know, other communities are going to be next. And there's hatred all around. And everybody, stop it. Let's everybody. Reach out.
Stop it, you guys. That'll do it. Well, that'll do it.
Well, you asked me to make you feel better.
We did.
I'm sort of bridging to that.
We did.
Well, you know, can I just say also, as horrible as yesterday was, there were also stories of over 600 people in line waiting to give blood in 98-degree heat. People bringing out water from the CVS to hand out to people. People at restaurants shutting down for the day just to make food for those people in line.
And so over $1 million already raised, by the way, in the GoFundMe account to help the family and members of the people.
That is the point. The vast, vast majority of us are good. The vast majority of us just want to take care of our families and live our lives. We need, though, to go a little step further and start reaching out and building community and be fully inclusive and ask questions of people you maybe aren't comfortable around. Learn to really get your head and empathize for those people as well.
I feel like that's something that's so missing, Drew. Yesterday, I got so upset. Just I woke up, saw the coverage, went to Twitter, and I thought, all of these people so angry on Twitter and fighting back and forth about guns and whatnot, they then log off and they don't have real conversations in real life.
Right.
They leave
right.
that all online and offline. They're not talking to their kids about what just happened. They're not talking at the barbecue about what their views are and how they can change things. There's no discourse in America in real life anymore.
Yes, we have to reconnect to our humanity, reconnect to our American values. And here's the feel-good part, Bean, that you asked for 20 minutes ago, which is the overwhelming probability is none of us that is listening to us or those of us speaking are going to be the object. It could happen, but it's very unlikely of this kind of violence. And
I
we
think
should
that's,
not live
that's,
our lives in fear, but live our lives in justice.
And look for the good and try to make the good in the world. I think that's really good advice, Dr. Drew. And I'll definitely be watching you this afternoon on HLN at 4 o'clock. And don't forget, Dr. Drew, along with Mike Kethwood, middays on KABC from noon to 3. And, of course, drdrew.com. We'll let you go and get back to that McDonald's Playland or wherever you're calling us from today, all right, Drew?
It's Hollywood Today. I'll be on in a few minutes.
All right, man. See you later.
All right, see you. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This
hurry
is
up, hurry up.
The Kevin and Beach Show at 8:39.
You want to get right to talking about Animal Kingdom, do you?
You do. It's so good.
Has there been a show in a while, Allie, that is more you than Animal Kingdom?
No. No. And we're going to talk to such a creep on the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sean Hattasy, longtime friend of the Kevin and Beach Show, who we've loved for years, is pretty much a creep. Yes. Hey, Sean. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are fantastic. Two-hour series premiere of the new series Animal Kingdom is tomorrow night on TNT at 9. All right, Allie, why don't you start it on Sean and tell him how creepy he is.
Why? Oh, you are such a creep on the show. I loved you in Southland, thought you were one of the best things ever, was really excited for this show, and they unfortunately only sent me 3, and I watched them all, and I need more. But wow, explain a little bit about your character on the show. You're just out of prison and you're reunited with your family, right?
That's true. And when you say creep, you mean like he's creepy sometimes and then like the other times you kind of want to date him, right?
No, I would totally bone him. But I'd also think the whole time, hey, I'm boning a creepy guy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you actually watched the 3 episodes because that helps a lot. And I also want to say thank you guys for your support of Southland over the years.
Such a great show.
It means a lot to me. And, I love Los Angeles, and I've lived there since the late 90s. So it means a lot to have a hometown radio station like you guys support the show. And it did a lot for us, really. I mean, I wish more people paid attention when it was on. Okay, so now Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Tell us about your character and your family.
So Pope is fresh out of prison. It's Ellen Barkin plays the matriarch of the Cody family. They're a blue-collar crime family, and we live in Oceanside. She has 4 boys. Scott Speedman plays Baz. He's sort of the leader. He's the adopted son. And then we have a couple other brothers. We won't talk about them. And then Pope is my character. who just got out of prison. He has a history of mental illness. But the relationship with the mom is so disturbed and demented.
Yes.
And these guys, they go out and they rob banks and break into jewelry stores and smash and grab type things. But then at the end of the night, they come home because Smurf made a you know, an apple pie, and we have to sit around and have a nice family dinner.
It's
that
bizarre.
That's what they call your mom. Ellen Barkin's character on the show is Smurf. But look, there's no chance that this guy wasn't going to be a lifelong criminal. Look how he was raised. Look at his family. Look at his environment. But he's not out of jail 20 minutes before he's looking for a way to break the law. I mean, it never even crosses your character's mind. Hey, you know what? Maybe I don't want to go back to jail. Maybe I play it straight for a while.
Right. Well, they're kind of like a wolf pack, you know? I mean, they need to steal and scam and to survive, and they need to do it within the family. And once you go out and if you leave the family, you know, you're not going to survive. So the interesting thing about our show is our narrative starts off where Pope has a twin sister who ODs, and she has a son, Jay, and he has to come. He's 17, he's a teenager, and he has to come live with this family. So we as the audience are taking a look at it through his eyes. And
right. You know. And I think it's some have compared it to the family dynamic on Sons of Anarchy. And I think, I know not a lot of shows like to be compared to other shows, but I think that's a real fair and reasonable comparison. Don't you, Sean?
I'll take it.
Right? Because Smurf is pretty much running the world. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Chris Sutter can write a TV show. I'll take whatever we can get him for. You know, we have our own way of doing things over on Animal Kingdom, in the Animal Kingdom. John Wells, who you know, created ER and West Wing and Shameless, right, and Southland. I mean, he has a incredible track record when it comes to keeping television shows on the air. So this is a new look for John and us and TNT. It's very dark. It's very gritty. But if I saw the ad of the show, I grew up in Maryland, you know, I would look at this world and think, oh, my God, I want to be there. I want to know what's going on in this world.
I want to be as far away from possible from these people.
I want to live next door and go to those pool parties. Absolutely.
Oh, it'd be so much fun, guys.
Right?
I will say,
so much cocaine, so much swimming.
Yeah. Honestly, the other day.
Cocaine first, then really, really aggressive swimming.
Just a lot of laps.
The other day, we're filming. I'm on episode. Well, we're actually just finishing up. This is our last week. But I did something on camera in the character of Pope that I can't believe I did. I'm grossed out by it. It's the craziest thing I've ever had to do as an actor, and it happens on Animal Kingdom somewhere in the middle of the
interesting
season. Go on.
You guys are going to freak out.
It's
going to be the thing that changes the perception of Animal Kingdom, and you're just going to go, oh my, it really is going to drop jaws.
Do you like eat a foot or something, your own?
Eat a foot?
I don't know. Why is that the thing you thought of?
I don't know. He said he's never done it before.
Eat a foot?
I don't know.
It's pretty horrible. But Pope for sure has a foot fetish. We joke around, like, you know, in the cast. Somebody's going to wake up and he's just going to be staring at their feet and their toenails. Like, he's that kind of guy.
Well, you are amazing at just staring at people that are incapacitated.
Yes,
that's a
great
creep look for you.
Yeah. Listen, before we go, this is the voice of Sean Hattasey on the phone. We're talking about Animal Kingdom TNT tomorrow night. We have to say a few words about the great Ellen Barkin, who has had a decades-long career of multiple award-winning roles on TV, on stage, in movies. I mean, she's a great actress. We've never seen her in a character like this before, I don't think, Sean. Do you?
No, we haven't. And the beauty of it is there are so many levels to this character, and Ellen is an actress who can do it all. So to have a character where she can kind of carve out all these different colors and is really remarkable. I enjoy working with her so much.
Well, always keep in mind that she's your mom, though, okay, Sean?
Oh, you need to keep watching, Bean. That's all
I'm saying. Daddy does not like you. Daddy does not like you.
And can I just say, listen, I don't know how TV works or anything, but I believe Peaky Blinders is real, so you need to keep this kid, Finn Cole, who plays Jay, the youngest on the show, please keep him alive so he can also go back to Peaky Blinders.
Oh,
they don't actually kill people.
What?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. We do kill people.
But see, I'm saying, that's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying it's fiction.
No, okay. No, I'm saying keep them alive.
Well, that's true. Actually, it would probably be better if we killed him, wouldn't it? Because then he could go back to Peaky Blinders for sure.
But then he wouldn't be on Animal Kingdom, which I love as well.
No,
oh,
I
you want both.
I want both.
I got you.
She wants everything.
Yeah, but I like keeping the balls juggled in the air. I like thinking anybody could get killed at any time.
Well, I believe it on this show. Check it out, you guys. I know there's a lot of new stuff on the air, and it's impossible to keep up. That's why we like to give you the heads up on stuff we really think you're going to enjoy. Animal Kingdom is the name of the show. Series premiere is going to be tomorrow night at 9 on TNT. It's super good. Sean, we love you, brother. Thanks so much for coming back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the support. I appreciate it.
You bet.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
We want to get you all hooked up and eligible for the grand prize drawing we'll do next Monday to send a lucky Kevin and Bean listener to Lollapalooza in Chicago. Your chance coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, which is right after Allie takes a look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
You guys, if you missed it earlier, we had a breaking news bulletin.
Does that mean you want the thing?
Yeah, I do.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
The official date has been announced for season 2 of Netflix original series Narcos.
Oh, season 1 was so good.
Right? All 10 episodes. Really?
Well, it's only got so much time.
Okay, yeah, I think we need more. All 10 episodes of Narcos will premiere on September 2nd at 12:01 a.m.
And there was much rejoicing.
Did you binge that, Kevin?
Yep.
Yeah.
I love that show.
What about you, Bean? You ever get into it?
I didn't.
Really?
Am I a lame-o?
Yeah,
a
lame-o
for a lot
excellent.
Of reasons. First of which is using the word lame-o.
I did hear nothing but great things about Narcos.
Okay.
Interesting that you. I would think that would be right up your alley because it's a true story and.
I got nothing against it.
It's gripping.
You didn't watch it.
A gripping tale, if you will. All right. What about this? Still no word on who might co-host live with Kelly. But what about a guest co-host by the name of Regis Philbin? Nobody cares?
I don't.
Look.
I think him being a guest co-host would be amazing just to see them back together.
I love Regis. I'm in. That's not the permanent solution. I think he's too old to give him the job.
But, no, I don't think
it's... It'd be fun to have him sit in for a few days. Yeah, sure.
A few days, have him in there.
Find fun.
Regis is a great broadcaster.
Absolutely.
He's always fun to watch.
And I think he'd also let some snarky little drops in every now and then that you kind of wanted to hear the whole time he was with Kelly before but couldn't say.
We don't care. Dude, okay. We don't care.
Okay, sorry.
We don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Oh, God. Don't care. Don't care.
Maybe a little, though. No? Not at all.
No.
All right, moving on. We know that Ralph went out of town. He did a show in Boston on Friday night and then a show in his hometown of Philly with his friend Kevin Smith. They did Babylon. They brought it to the East Coast. Well, while there, Kevin Smith went on a Philadelphia radio station and said that he is working on a 10-episode TV show, which would be a sequel to his 1995 movie, Mallrats.
Is that right?
Huh. What do you think of that?
That's pretty cool.
Right?
Yeah, I like that.
Because I think for a long time they were going to, bring it to the big screen, obviously. But now, instead of that, putting it on TV for 10 episodes?
I like it.
Can I tell you? Look, I love Kevin Smith. He's been a friend of the show for a long time. Can I tell you what he's terrible at? Retiring.
Yeah, he did.
He's busy.
He did say he was going to retire.
He did say he was done at one point, right? He wasn't going to make any more movies.
4 years ago? 5 years ago?
Yeah.
But don't you think when you're creative like that, you just can't rest?
Well, apparently not. I mean, he seems busier than ever.
He's terrible at retiring, though. Bean's right.
That is true.
He's not good at that.
He is also working on a TV series based on the cult 1980s film, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, Across the Eighth Dimension. That we knew about, but the Mallrats info is new. So that's pretty interesting.
Pretty cool.
That's pretty interesting stuff. Why am I talking about
And there was much rejoicing.
Yes, there was. When I say the name Stephen Jenkins and Brad Hargraves from Third Eye Blind, what do you think when you hear those names? Hero? You'd be right, Kevin.
Did you say hero?
Hero. Both of them rushed to help four young men who were trapped in a rip current 100 yards off the Carolina coast. They let the guys rest on their surfboards, not a euphemism, and paddled them back to shore. And a rep for the band says, everyone's fine and grateful. Wow. I mean, those are just two dudes out for a good day at the beach, and there they are saving lives. You're right, Kevin. They are heroes.
Third eye blind heroes.
Third eye blind. It's beautiful stuff. All right, all of these stars were born on today, June the 13th. Actor Tim Allen is 63. Weezer singer Rivers Cuomo is 46. Comedian Steve-O is 40.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. You're 42 today. Actor Chris Evans is 35. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, twins, of course. They are turning 30. Kat Dennings also turning 30. DJ Snake.
Hey, take it easy.
Yeah, Kat Dennings.
Kat Dennings.
This is Bean's jam.
Turn down for what?
Right? Oh, you got to give it up for DJ Snake.
That was the whitest thing I've ever heard. You got to give it up for DJ Snake. He is turning 30 years old today. I'm Allie McKay for Ralph Garman. Garman. Who?
Walking the... Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:33.
How about our final look at the showbiz beat here for a Monday? And for Ralph Garman, here's Allie.
Remember last hour we talked about Third Eye Blind and how I said Stephen Jenkins and drummer Brad Hargreaves. Basically, we can call them heroes for what they did.
Right.
Rushing
saved
to help
a whole bunch of kids' lives, right?
Like 17 or four. Four young
how
men.
How many was it?
It was four.
Four.
But trapped in a rip current 100 yards off the Carolina coast. What did they do? Did they say to the lifeguard, hey, there's four kids out there. Help them. No. They got on their surfboards, paddled out, let the guys rest on the surfboards, and brought them back in.
That seems heroic and also a little dumb to intentionally go into a riptide where kids are drowning. I feel like maybe that riptide is dangerous.
If only we had someone from Third Eye Blind to talk to.
What? Stephen Jenkins is on the phone? Are you kidding me? How are you, sir?
That was your guy's toss to me.
Yeah, did you like it?
Well, look, I wasn't...
Talk about dumb.
I wasn't there, so I don't know. You tell me what happened.
I think it was brave, Stephen. I think brave is what he meant by dumb.
Allie, you're sweet.
Thank you.
All right, so you guys are in, you're on the East Coast. As I understand, you're rehearsing for Bonnaroo, where you played last night. You had a little downtime, so you guys went to the beach. You were in North Carolina where this event happened, right?
Yeah, we were... Basically, Brad and I are really avid surfers, and we were just we were out surfing already. So we saw these kids out at the break, and they were way out with us, and we were kind of wondering why they were so far out, especially when there was a rip current. And we sort of scratched our heads for a minute. So I guess it was kind of dumb.
And how many kids and how old were they?
They're four kids, and they were... I don't know. Were they kind of tweens and teens?
Okay, you know? So
right
pretty young.
Right when they're at their worst, right?
I don't think he's judging them as as people. He just knows that they needed help.
Okay. And how did you know? How did they alert you that they were in trouble?
Well, if you're swimming, you're horizontal in the water, and if you're not swimming, you start to like go up to where you're bobbing until you stop bobbing, and then you're sinking. And they were somewhere in that mode, and they weren't very loud, and we realized later that it was probably because they were really tired. Because they were trying to work against the rip, which is obviously something you don't do.
I've been in a riptide before, and
it wasn't obvious to them.
And I tried to swim against it, and you literally just lose ground. You just go away from the shore so quickly. It's ridiculous. It's a scary thing.
Yes, you can't do that. Born backwards against the tide. Unceasingly, right. As some poet said, or something like that. I don't know. But they were trying to swim against it, and they wore themselves out. And we were, you know, we knew we were in the rip, but we were just working the rip so we could, you know, we could surf, and it actually helps you get back outside. So,
well, you and Brad are extra manly, though, right? I mean, you're superhuman practically.
Well, they lead a semi-charmed kind of life.
Half, yo.
All right.
Yeah, that's right. We were out there on the water eating shark meat and.
What's happening right now?
I'm not positive.
I like this story so much.
I'm not positive, but I feel like the story's getting better.
I bet the more time he tells it, the better it'll get. All right, so you paddle out there to them, and you give them basically some shelter from the storm. They get a chance to hang onto the surfboard and relax a little bit while you're waiting. What? Then the lifeguards come out and pull all you guys back in, or how do they get to shore eventually?
That's right. We're out there with a great big huge shark, so we stay in the belly of a whale. Yeah, I'm just throwing the story.
I like it.
Okay.
No, we paddled them in. Yeah.
All right. Good for you. Congratulations.
It's good to talk to you guys. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
It has been a long time, and I'm happy you guys are doing so well. Bonnaroo was fun.
Bonnaroo was really fun. That was our first Bonnaroo, and it was great. I don't know. It's one of the most fun festivals I've ever played.
Absolutely. Good luck.
Totella
good luck
was
to you.
Fun too, but this was really off the chain. So.
Good luck to you and the guys. Be out there playing the rock this summer and saving lives, man. We appreciate you jumping on and telling us what happened.
Allie, thanks for that. And Kevin and Bean, it really was nice to hear your voices. Bye.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Bye. And to you as well. Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was... All right. That was... Right? You guys are with me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're all thinking it, right?
That we're bad at interviews?
Well, obviously, clearly. At this
That's
point,
what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
You all right, Ellie? What's happening right now? She can't talk.
No. You need to sort of, and then go into other stories. Hey, wait, let me play this. There we go. And then, if we were to say something, it would sound a little something like this.
And then the next story that you will read would be about something else, a different topic. We can get Stephen Jenkins back on the phone to comment on that. Come on, Allie. Pull it together.
Okay, so.
Oh, Zayn Malik, ex-One Direction singer. He was supposed to perform at London's massive Wembley Stadium on Saturday during... Why would you do that to me? During the Capitol Summertime Ball, and he just couldn't do it. And
why?
They came on the screen and said he wasn't feeling well.
Why?
The audience was obviously upset. Until later, they found out that he has horrible, crippling anxiety. And Zayn tweeted, "Unfortunately, my anxiety that has haunted me throughout the last few months around live performances has gotten the better of me." And he said it was the worst anxiety he's ever had in his entire life. I mean, that's...
Wow.
That's so crippling.
That can be crippling. That's true.
Absolutely.
He might not be in the right occupation.
Well, he does say that it's been haunting him the last few months. So I wonder if something has changed in the last few months, if something has been happening. But I don't know.
You pointed out earlier there may be a real adjustment in not having
the other four guys.
Yeah, the security blanket of having the team behind you. You go out there by yourself. It's all you. It's all on your shoulders. So
why?
Too much pressure. Well, just because it is, Roddy.
Why?
Moving on, Adele had some choice words for David Bowie's record producer, Tony Visconti. If you missed it, he told the UK's Mirror newspaper, and this is a quote, "We know Adele has a great voice, but it's even questionable if that is actually her voice or how much has been manipulated."
Who has questioned that about Adele?
I don't know that anyone's.
Ever.
I don't know that anyone's ever questioned that.
Why would you ever say that? That's just insanity. Well, Adele did not take too kindly to it. During one of her concerts last week, she mentioned Tony on stage and told the audience, and this is a quote from her, "Some dickhead tried to say that my voice isn't me on the record. Dude, suck my beep."
I love her.
Adele.
So much.
I love her so much.
She's not nearly as delightful as she thinks she is.
Oh, I beg to differ with you. Well, yesterday, Tony was quoted again, this time with Billboard.com. "If Adele has taken my comments as offensive, that was certainly not my intent."
Adele has a compliment to say that she can't really sing and it's all studio trickery.
Right. "Adele has a great voice and it brings pleasure to millions." Well, that part is great and true. But come on, Tony.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I think he picked the wrong target.
Right?
This isn't like some kid from American Idol that they sweeten in a studio because they can't bring it. Adele can bring it.
Adele can bring it. Well said. CBS is looking to get into the action of having a show like the O.J. Simpson miniseries and FX's American Crime Story. What they're going to do, they're going to do a limited series about Patty Hearst's 1974 kidnapping by the Symbionese Liberation Army. If you don't know that story, she was basically kidnapped by these people, and there was a 19-month search for her. She was a very, very, very wealthy heiress, and she was taken, and she actually developed Stockholm Syndrome and became a sympathizer for her kidnappers, changed her name to Tanya, was eventually found.
Weren't there, like, bank robberies and stuff?
Oh,
where they had video of her helping them?
Yeah, she went and did bank heists. It was insane. Absolutely nuts. So if that all goes through, that's going to be on CBS.
I like it.
I'm in for that as well. Let's get to some birthdays. All of these stars were born on June the 13th. That would be today, you guys.
Right.
It's Monday. Mm-hmm. It is only Monday.
Yep.
Weezer singer Rivers Cuomo is 46. Comedian Steve O is 42.
Yeah, dude.
Actor Chris Evans is 35. Tim Allen is 63. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen are 30. And actress Kat Dennings. Did you just take away Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's?
I mean, it happened. Bell? I don't. It was automatic.
Actress Kat Dennings is 30. And all DJ right. and DJ Snake is 30.
Turn down for what? Turn down for what?
Right? Right? Wonder what Stephen Jenkins thinks about DJ Snake.
I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Grumman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Allie. On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour and a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. We appreciate that. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about online dating hell. Bean wants to talk to...
Why are you mocking? This is a great idea.
If you have
Wait.
If you have a parrot, Bean would like to talk to your parrot.
I would like to talk to you about owning your parrot mm-hmm. and the types of things your parrot says, and I would also like to hear from your parrot. Look, we did that story last week about the parrot that may be called as an eyewitness in a murder trial.
Right.
And I am fascinated with how many things parrots can say.
Right.
So I think it might be fun to hear from some of those parrots.
Bean wants to talk to your bird.
Bean wants to talk to your bird. That's what's happening. And also, K-Rock's Festival Flyaway 2016, destination number